Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm usually here with Alfred Adesk, but he's unable to join us today, so I'm going solo again for another 20 minutes today, and Al will join us once again tomorrow. But for today, it's Monday, April 11th, 2016. We just had too great of a day in gold and silver to have a replay from an earlier program of last week. So I wanted to give you the current prices. You have gold up $1,770 today, almost up 1.5%, $1,770 at $1,257. Silver right on $16, up 0.54. That was up almost 3.5%. Platinum was up 21. 992, and we have palladium up 6 at $551. So good day in the precious metals. I think you're beginning to hear a little bit of inflation coming into, even though the government denies it, we're still seeing it, and we have some numbers on that. It's going to be an interesting week for various economic news reports coming out, some stats that are coming out. We'll talk about those in here in just a little bit. You had pressure on the dollar today, down 0.23 at 93.96. Crude oil was up 0.69 at 40.41, and the dollar pressure on the dollar. So gold is also responding to the little bit of pressure on the dollar. I mean, we really haven't seen anything yet. Okay, we almost hit full 100. Now we're at just below 94. But again, a trend, that's what's developing. We need a weaker dollar. We're going to get, trust me, we're going to get a weaker dollar, regardless of what Janet Yellen does or says. Paper markets today, let me go ahead and get to that screen. They were, they took away all their gains today. They were up triple digits in early trading today. And the Dow couldn't keep it, down 20 points at 17,556. The NASDAQ down 17 at 48.33. And they really only reversed their numbers here in about the last hour or so of trade. They were up most of the day. The S&P 5.61 to the downside at 2,041. You still have that 10-year yield at 1.72%. I was telling you that was showing that people are going to a safer haven. We weren't seeing gold responding, and now we are. So, you know, people will always go to the bonds first, and it's a lot quicker to get your money into getting bonds. You know, you will see gold follow shortly thereafter. Things don't have to work on, you know, knee-jerk reaction type scenarios. Things do filter through. I mean, yes, sometimes we get them. But it's really kind of an interesting day. It's a lot of strange things are going on, and I think we're going to see it play out in some of the gold prices this week, gold and silver. And a lot of strength, a lot of demand for silver. And you don't see these numbers change immediately. It takes time for them to filter through, especially when the markets are rigged, you know? So people that are purchasing, you're buying at great prices at these levels. And you got to remember something, folks. It's just not about price. And again, I keep telling you, if we get 3,000 gold and silver at 100, depending on what's going on in the economy, that could be very low pricing for gold and silver. You can't let the price dictate whether you're going to buy or sell. Certainly getting it at lower prices is better than getting it at higher prices. I get that. But don't listen to a lot of the naysayers out there. Gold's going lower, and these are the reasons why. Well, I can give you just as many better reasons why gold and silver are going higher. So I talked about some of the reports that are coming out this week. We're going to start out with retail. That comes out on Wednesday, a report from the Commerce Department. And we're going to see if those consumers, those shoppers, opened up their wallets at all in March. There are forecasts of having March being stronger, possible, not probable. And we had spending that fell both in January and February. Rasmussen came out with a report that I found interesting. It was a spending report they do monthly. And they don't so much give the numbers of what they feel what the spending is, but just how people are spending it, how the consumers are spending. And so it's not a matter of how much, it's a matter of where they are spending their money. And we know they've already spent their money on big ticket items. We've seen what happened to the auto business and so forth. But all that seems to have slacked off. I mean, that's the next subprime area of financing. And usually with the arrival of spring, it usually means consumers plan more purchases on home improvements, household items, and, you know, spring clothing, summer clothing, and accessories, and so forth. So we could see maybe a little bit stronger March number. Possible, not probable. But with Rasmussen's report, they talked about the consumer isn't buying these big-ticket items anymore. They're not buying the household items. His numbers, or those numbers, fell almost 9 points in April. Spending on household improvements dropped 4 points. So it doesn't look very good going forward. What I find interesting is the only category to see any growth in planned spending was personal entertainment, like movies, sporting events, hobbies, interest. Although this finding was only up 1 point from March to April, if last year is any indicator, we should plan on seeing more growth in this area in the months to come. Is that how this economy now is changing over from, you know, from big ticket items to our economy is, you know, revolving around entertainment, movies, restaurants, eating, hobbies, sports events, really? So if that's an indication of our economy, you should be very concerned with what's going to be happening in the stock markets. But hey, if you're in the paper markets, maybe you should go buy some of those, you know, AMC stocks, or, you know, the ones that the Chinese just recently purchased. Also on Wednesday, we're back with the Federal Reserve, as the 12 Federal Reserve districts, known as the Beige Book, will be reporting on the economy. And the Federal Reserve, the central bankers, they all prep their material ahead of their policy meeting in 2 weeks. So we should keep an eye on that report, what it says about wage growth and their so-called labor market conditions. On Thursday, this is one I think will be interesting, the Labor Department's Consumer Price Index for March. This report gives the Fed the latest U.S. inflation reading. And again, I say this all with a grain of salt, you know, with the way they rig these markets. And, you know, you kind of have to read between the lines what is truth, what isn't truth. And a lot of it is not truth. But we all know that what inflation is, certainly not what they tell us. However, in February, with the overall price gains that had softened, but when you take out food and energy costs, prices were up 2.3% from a year earlier. So prices are moving up. Food prices are moving up. Energy, gasoline is moving up. So, you know, they're going to get their little 2% of inflation that they want. But I argue with anyone that inflation is much higher than 2% or the 2.3% as indicated in their last report from a year earlier. On Friday, we also have the Fed's industrial production report, manufacturing, the details on manufacturing, mining, utilities output will be released. Manufacturing numbers, which is the largest component of this index, we could see it move the markets come Friday. And it will be interesting because on Friday, we have the IMF, the semi-annual meeting. The global leaders are converging on Washington. And, of course, they're going to be discussing the global economy's fragility and most likely they'll be discussing much negative rates. Christine Lagarde came out as of yesterday, the IMF, said that, a move to negative rates by some of the world's central banks would help deliver extra monetary stimulus and ease lending conditions. So she's there trying to egg on some of these other central banks to move to negative rates. She thinks it's going to help. They're in Washington this weekend to discuss the global economy. So I guarantee you might see a move or two from various central banks into negative rates. Maybe we're there now. Maybe not the U.S., but certainly with the Janet Yellen. And I wanted to touch on that here briefly. There is a special meeting that is called. There was one on Friday with the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. And now there's a special meeting that was only announced yesterday with Obama and Janet Yellen. So perhaps they're going to discuss negative rates prior to this meeting this weekend with the IMF. And I don't believe Lou is in this meeting, but I think Biden is joining Obama with Janet Yellen to discuss these issues, these regulatory issues. So we'll have to see if what comes from that. So a lot of things that are happening this week with the IMF coming to Washington, D.C. For their semi-annual meeting. Negative rates will almost certainly be part of the topic as the IMF is saying, hey, you know, it might not be a bad thing to do. Maybe we can get an extra mile from everyone before the system has more problems. There, you know, there's a lot of analysts out there that look to negative rates as desperation. As what I believe, particularly Japan. We have the two of the most notably banks, the central bankers that went to negative rates was the Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank. And around a quarter of the world economy by output is now experiencing official rates that really are less than than zero. So, you know, it is truly desperation, because if things were good and grand, you'd begin to see these rates rise. But we know the stimulus is not working, and it's not working anywhere. When you have Japan putting in their billions and trillions of dollars, or yens, I should say, not dollars. So it's just another sign. It's not a leaf in the breeze anymore. You know, it's the 2x4 that's coming your way. And if you don't choose to see it, well, that's, you know, it's your problem. But we're here to help you see it. We're here to help you duck it so you don't get hit. And but you have to be aware of what is happening around you, and that is part of our job. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see gold break $1,300 this week. It's only $50 away. I don't like short-term predictions. I know you want them, and I'm usually as right as anyone else. But I think we could see gold. Now, will it maintain that level? I think we could, you know, touch it. We could approach it. Even if we just approached it and didn't make it, I think we're going to see some good gains out of gold this week. I want to make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. I don't know if many of you have heard this gentleman, Doug Nolan. He's not a financial advisor, nor does he provide investment services. He has a blog. I think he's one of the better writers since Bob Chapman. It's facts. It's numbers. It's stats. He's kind of like a John Williams. You know, here's the numbers. Use them. Understand them. And he talks about the financial bubble, and I agree with him. And I've been putting his, started putting him in our newsletter on a weekly basis. So make sure you go to our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. You can get to his website, Credit Bubble Bulletin, creditbubblebulletin.com. And you can see his articles, and I believe what he writes, he is just, you know, I used and I talked about him before, Doug Nolan. He talks about these bubbles have been going on for a very long time. He believes, excuse me, there's a global bubble that is about to burst. He talks about the credit and asset price inflation. He talks about the misallocation. He talks about, in the end, how bubbles, what they do is they just redistribute and destroy wealth. He says major bubbles will tear at the threads of society. And again, I think he's one of the better writers out there in our venue. And he doesn't promote gold or silver. He doesn't give any advice or anything like that. But it's a very good read. It gives you a very good understanding on exactly what is going on without the fluff to get you into a particular paper investment and so forth. So I advise you to either go to his website or pick up our newsletter at dgscoins.com. We've got some great prices. Tomorrow I'm going to do a comparison on $20 gold pieces. They're beginning to take off. We were selling the Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold pieces for barely, $30, $40 over what a gold bullion coin would sell for. And I think you're going to see, or you're going to be surprised at how they have been increasing in just this last week or two. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We're heading into a break now. Al and I will be back tomorrow live, so make sure you stay and join us tomorrow.
make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
As every day, I'm going to remind the listeners to visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, we've got some great specials going on here at Discount Gold and Silver. If you want to add some Silver Eagles to your portfolio, we got some great buys on them, very low premiums on our Silver Eagles. And if you want to be part of that 60 million for the year of 2016, let's see if we, it would be fantastic. It would be something that certainly would be discussed. And I think eventually folks are going to need it in your portfolio. And we talk about it all the time, and we're not going to go into it right now. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about the U.S. economy, but we got some. You know, if you need to accumulate to your portfolio, as you can accumulate, now's the time to get them at these low prices, and these still are low prices for both gold and silver.
Got an article from CNN Money. The headline's Red Flag. U.S. economy may have hit the pause button. All right, it says economists have dramatically cut their forecasts for U.S. economic growth in the first quarter of 2016. Falling car sales, equipment purchases by businesses, and a downward revision to consumer spending have darkened the view. The Atlanta Federal Reserve's forecast for the first quarter growth is now 0.4%. a massive dial down from 2.5% that they forecast in mid-February. We've gone from mid-February to mid-March, and we're into April, but we're really talking about a month and a half, and their forecast has fallen from 2.5% to 0.4%. That's a sixth. They are calculating that the forecast from mid-February has declined by 5/6. Bank of America's economists recently cut their forecast. What happened here? I just lost something for a second. From 2% to 0.6%. All right. Wells Fargo slashed estimates from 1.4% to 0.1%, which is next to nothing. In March, total car sales fell by 1 million to 16.9 million, dimming hopes that consumers were starting to spend. Small business optimism has hit the lowest point in 2 years, and American manufacturers are facing headwinds from the weak global economy. Earlier this year, fears of a U.S. recession grew, only to die down by mid-February and March. Those fears may now be ratcheting up again, as consumers and business owners seem to be in a pause mode before opening up their purse strings. What do you think, Melody? Is we ain't on the verge of another bout of admitted recession?
The key there is admitted recession. We've never came out of the ones that we've had probably for, 30 years. But, it's make-believe. It's like being a little kid again. We can make-believe that things are good. We can make-believe that if you want to play the game and think that things are better, and hopefully they're better for some and for many. But I think as a nation as a whole, we don't have, it's not the fairy tale that was spoken of when we were children now, when we were kids, and a lot of dreams, and people certainly have found it much harder to make a living. There's economists. They're already shaving off a forecast of on the weak growth from a week ago to today. I mean, earlier in the week they were looking at a little bit higher number. I think a 0.4% estimate earlier in the week. The Atlanta Fed GDP, JP Morgan economists are now forecasting the economy only expanded by 0.2% in the first quarter. So
we don't know for a fact what's happened in the first quarter.
No. And
will we know for a fact, Melody? For a fact, when will we know?
July.
After
they revise it after three times.
When you see St. Peter, you could ask him, and he's, those people lied. If you want to know what it really was, first quarter, here's what it really was. St. Peter will tell us. I don't think we'll get the truth. Will we get the truth in this life?
The first GDP number actually comes out later on in this month, about the end of the month, I think around April 28th. And, of course, they can revise it down. According to a CNBC study, the average error rate since 1990 in government quarterly GDP reports was plus or minus 1.3%. So, whatever the number they can come out, it could be higher, it could be lower. I mean, it's really ridiculous because you have so many things that are based on, these numbers. People invest and, if you believe it's true, I'm sure.
So what's that tell you that you should be doing if you're investing?
You do the opposite of what they tell you.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it probably is. Going with it is this. The truth of the matter is none of us can really count on the numbers that are produced on a regular basis short term. What did we hear for the numbers for today? What did we hear for the numbers for this week? What have we heard for the numbers for the first quarter? Well, what are we anticipating for the next quarter? Because these numbers have been frequently falsified, and it appears to many that this isn't just a mistake. This has been done intentionally in order to create a rosier picture than may in fact be reality. What you want to do, you want to, instead of responding to the rumor du jour or the fictional unemployment rate today, oh my gosh, look what happened to the unemployment rate. I don't know what did happen to it. We don't really know what happened to it. And I'm not sure when we're going to find out, which takes us back. What if you can't look at these day-to-day numbers exactly and rely on them to make investment decisions? They are something you should consider. I'm not saying they shouldn't be considered, but if there's any doubt in your mind, you want to look at fundamentals. What are the fundamentals telling you? And you have to take a longer-term view on your investments, because what's happening today and tomorrow and Monday and so on, there is just a surprising amount of volatility. I mean, what does it prove that today the price of gold went down a few cents? What does it prove? Anything? What does it prove that it went up? What was it? $13 yesterday? Well, went down 9 before, up 10 or 11 the day before that. It's up and down like a yo-yo. So what can you do in an environment where fundamentals dominate? And the reason for the fundamentals is not clear. Excuse me. Not fundamentals dominate, where day-to-day prices are dominating, and the reason for those price changes are not clear. What do you do? You got to take a longer-term view. You have to sit back and realize, this week was interesting. What's it prove?
Well, it's exactly what I talked about yesterday. When you look at the fundamentals, you want a long-term investment. So if you want to speculate and keep part of your funds and be diversified, that's fine. But get it insured. You know, bring some. So when it fluctuates, you have something it's like a seesaw effect, where you get the seesaw effect. And I'm not talking on a day-to-day basis, but over a period of time, you get that seesaw effect. And that's what protects you. And that's what people don't understand, why they don't want to be heavy all in paper. And you have to understand what exactly is balancing, you know, your seesaw, your portfolio. You know, I mean, yeah, having all paper is not balancing your portfolio. Having you know, mining shares and oil shares and, you know, maybe pharmaceuticals and all in your portfolio, it's not balancing your portfolio. You might have different investments, but it doesn't balance your portfolio. So there's lessons, and people have to pay attention. We talked about pension plans, and we were talking about, how rules change for corporate pension plans. Since 2014, that was written into the transportation bill, and some of those changes expire this year. So it'll be interesting to see what effects it has when it comes to these corporations reporting their underfunded liabilities on these pension plans. So because you will see a difference. We'll follow that story and keep you posted as we can find. I actually went back to look for some, pension news and so forth and whatnot. I'll tell you what, to find the information anymore, everything I was finding, it was like from the 90s and the early years of 2000, it was like, and they really have suppressed the numbers to find these reports. To dig around, there is a big difference in what you can find even on the internet than what you could, 10, 15 years ago.
Well, I don't have a comment for that, but I do have one for balancing my portfolio, Melody. I try to get half of my paper debt instruments are printed in black ink and half are printed in dark blue. Does that constitute balancing?
In your mind, probably.
Mm-hmm. Got another one for you. You know, people get into the speculation, and we can talk about the difference between speculators and investors. And the fundamental idea is investors are in it for the long haul. All right? Speculators are in it for how much can I make this afternoon? I got a stock tip. You understand? I can get into General Motors today, and it's going to go up 25 cents per share, and I'll be able to clean up. By the end of the day, I make 25 cents on every share I bought. If I bought, who knows, 100,000 shares, blah, blah, blah. Make a lot of money. Have enough money to take a vacation, whatever. That's speculation. If short-term investing is speculation, long-term investing is, in fact, investing. All right, and in long term is going to be based on fundamentals where speculation is moving according. What's the market doing right now? What's the market doing right now? Long term says, what are the fundamentals? One of the reason I bring that up, we've said it 100 times probably in this program. I don't know if we've said it that many, but we have. But another story I've told on this program, an anecdote, a number of times. But back in the 50s, maybe the early 60s, but I was no more than in high school, and I remember this clearly, read an article that explained they did a survey on hardcore gamblers, people who were habitual gamblers, and they set up a casino, and they would bring people in, and they could play slot machines and roulette wheels and whatever. They had most of the games that you can find in a casino in Las Vegas. And what they did is they could change the rate of winning on these games. You could start pulling on that one-armed bandit, and maybe you could make a nickel for every dollar you put in there, or they could adjust the payout rate where instead you were winning. You're actually winning on the machine. And what they discovered is that the hardcore gamblers, once they started winning on a regular basis, they lost interest in the game and they quit. And there was a profound lesson in that I understood then. This is 50 years ago. The gamblers play to lose. Not absolutely all of them, but most of them are playing to lose. Right? Now, the same thing strikes me as true with the stock market speculators. They're essentially involved in gambling. They're betting because it's short term. They're betting what's the next card going to come up? Is it going to be a jack or an ace, a spade, or a club? They're betting on that next turn of the card, and if they would bet right, they can make a lot of money. And if they do, it makes them extraordinarily enthusiastic. Oh my God! Did you see how much money I made? I can do this again. I can do it again. And they will bet, and they're like a guy who's shooting craps, and he's rolled seven, six times in a row. And he knows, he can do it seven times in a row. Well, sooner or later he gets to that roll where he can't, and then it's all lost. And the point behind this, there's a lesson here, or at least an implication. People who speculate are gambling. People who gamble are playing to lose. Investors are playing to win, all right? Take a look at the fundamentals, take a long-term perspective, and be prepared to sit down and hang on to whatever you've invested in. Hold on tight. We're going to take a break for some more commercial announcements, and Melody and I will return in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi folks, I'm Alfred Adisker with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Here's an interesting article from the Washington Times, and it goes to values and what's happening in the world. You know, some people, I suppose every generation, complains that the newer generations don't have the same sense of values that we had when we were kids. I don't think there's anything unusual about that, that complaint. I'm sure that people have been, there were Neanderthals back in the Stone Age. You were in their own ways, and what's wrong with that kid?
Yeah, but it was a lot different when we were the kids.
But people do have, there's just a shift in values. And the headline, Washington Times, Pope Francis insists conscience, not just rules, must lead faithful. That's the headline. And what he's saying is you got to decide for yourself. Your conscience will decide whether or not you should or should not do something. You don't have to be bound up by silly old things like, he didn't say this
like
precisely, but this is, like the Bible or the Ten Commandments or something. That's passé. I mean, this is... This report, this is like Father Guido Sarducci. Some of you may remember him from back in the 60s or 70s. He was a comedian, all right? Came across as a Catholic priest, and Father Guido Sarducci. And it's like he shaved his head, got rid of his beard and his sideburns, and now he's Pope Francis. So Pope Guido said Friday that Catholics should look to their own consciences rather than rely exclusively on church rules to negotiate the complexities of sex, marriage, and family life, demanding the church shift emphasis from doctrine to mercy and confronting some of the thorniest issues of the faithful. In a major church document entitled, this is almost too bizarre. A major church document entitled The Joy of Love. I can remember they had a book that was entitled The Joy of Sex. Maybe in the 60s, probably in the 70s. It was radical, The Joy of Sex. Oh, my gosh, people were putting it out on their on their coffee tables or whatever. It was a radical. And here comes the Pope, the joy of love. I don't know. Is that just a coincidence? But in any case, in this document, Pope Francis made no explicit change in church doctrine and upheld church teachings on the lifelong bond of marriage between a man and a woman. But in selectively citing his predecessors and emphasizing his own teachings in strategically placed footnotes, Pope Francis made innovative openings and a pastoral practice for Catholics who civilly remarry. Right? What is an innovative opening, Melody? It's a violation of the Bible. It says, oh, wait, we got 10 commandments? We got an 11th, maybe a 12th coming to you, you know? And signaled that he wants nothing short of a revolution in the way priests guide ordinary Catholics in their spiritual life. He said the church must no longer sit in judgment and throw stones at those who fail to live up to the gospel's ideals of perfection in marriage and family life. So we've got a little bit of, if it feels good, do it here. The article continues. He says, on thorny issues such as contraception, Francis stressed that a couple's individual conscience, educated in church teaching, and not just dogmatic rules imposed on them across the board from above as in from God, must guide their decisions and the church's pastoral practice. I'm not Catholic, but I've respected the Catholics for having a system of values that they were willing to stand up for. I didn't want to be Catholic in the rest of that, but I recognize these people had a pretty strict code. Not all of them, but most of them. They seemed to have something, you know. Now, Pope Guido's new innovations seem to say, if it really feels good, I don't mean if it's just good, if it really, really feels good, then what the heck? Why not? Let's do it. And in doing so, the Catholic faith appears to be losing some of its values. And it seems to be devolving from a strict church into something that's more like a permissive frat house. Huh? What do you think, Melody? Is the Catholic Church, is Pope Francis leading them in a good direction here? Or?
Oh, I agree with you. I'm not Catholic, and when I was a child, my father was Catholic, and my brother was baptized Catholic, but I was not. The Archbishop who leads 2.3 million Catholics in Chicago, he praised the document as liberating. Well, that it is.
Yeah, I know.
And but he said the Pope was calling pastors and believers to an adult spirituality. And an adult, I mean, it's, but this is just part of signs of the times. April 19th, in New York, Times Square. I think I sent you the information. And in London, they're worshiping.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The portals to the Temple of Baal.
Yeah.
And it's allegedly happening in a number of cities.
Well, two that I know of.
No,
I
it's
mean,
allegedly a couple dozen where this is where this is allegedly happening. They're going to set up portals that are copied after the entrance to the Temple of Baal, which is anti-Christian, anti-God, arguably satanic. They're allegedly going to be set up in a number of cities. In the next
April 19th. And it's all going to happen at the same time.
I
mean, it's not the time differences and so forth. Oh, well, London's going to do theirs at, 12 noon and the New York will do. No, it's a coordinated. And it's so when you put all this together, it's.
And it's hard for people to understand, and it's hard to believe unless you are part of whatever movement is putting the Baal temple doors up. You know, there was a documentary years ago about life on one of the islands out in the Pacific where Well, they've studied evolution for a long. Charles Darwin, Easter Island. No, maybe not Easter Island. I can't think of the name of the island in the Pacific. But they have lizards and they have birds, and the birds lay eggs, and they have a rookery where all the birds get together, and they are all just, everyone has its own nest laying there on the ground, and they are all of the nests are just precisely spaced where they're just out of reach, where you can't, where a bird sitting on the nest can't quite peck at any of the other birds in the adjacent nests, right? But they're close. Right? These nests are close. And if any of the birds cross another bird's territory, oh, they're all on them, and they're all pecking at this albatross or whatever it is that she's trying to get to his nest and bring some food to the baby birds and the rest of that sort of thing. And all the rest of the birds, bang, 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 peck at it, peck at it, peck at it. They're worried about each other. But whenever they abandon the nest, they step away or whatever, there are lizards that come up and steal the eggs out of the nests, and the birds just sit there and look at them. And they just seem to be saying, well, don't that beat all? Did you see what happened? That lizard just took my eggs. Huh, how about that? They spend all of their energy pecking at other birds that should be their friends. And they don't even realize when the lizards are coming in. They don't pay no attention. It doesn't disturb them. They could stop the lizards. But the lizards just wander around like the Invisible Man. Well, people are like that. There are things that happen in this world where we're so busy fighting with our neighbors and our family members and employees and employers and the rest of that sort of thing. We don't really catch what's going on. We don't follow that the lizards, or you could say politicians if you wanted to, or you might say Satanists or shysters or treasonous whores, you got a bunch of different, but the lizards are helping themselves to our eggs. And we're not doing anything to stop it. And it seems odd when you see birds that don't bother stopping real lizards out there on the in Pacific Islands. But we do the same thing. And it is very strange. It's very hard to understand who your true adversaries are. We are easily motivated to fight with people that really, all they're trying to do is get by. Right? I'm not saying everybody's saintly and the rest of that, but we wind up spending too much of our energy fighting with people of another race, another religion, while the lizards are stealing the eggs out of our nests. And it's partly because we're foolish. It's partly because the lizards are smart enough to give us something to fight with.
Mm-hmm. They're patient. Mm-hmm. Federal judge in California has ruled that including a small Christian cross on their official seal of the Los Angeles County is unconstitutional, siding with the civil liberties advocates. You know, this was a decision yesterday. It was a two-year battle, and it was handed down by the U.S. District Judge Christina Snyder. And so, you know, these are just one of those little signs. These are, you know, the birds, you know, and the county seal of Los Angeles, it appears on flags, on government buildings across the county, and now they all have to be removed. So where's the people that are fighting to keep this on? I've given this story. I lived in Missouri in a little town. I think the town, if I remember correctly, was Republic in Missouri. They had the little fish. Didn't even represent a Christian. It wasn't on there because of the Christian symbol. It was on there because of fishing in the Ozarks.
Well,
one person viewed it as a religious symbol. And one person.
Well, and we can't have that, Melody.
Nobody fights it, and they had to remove it from, you know, from all little cities stationery and everything else. It's like they do one little town at a time until they get to the larger towns and But as you said, it's, you know, these lizards just come in and they change things, and everybody else is so busy.
And we don't understand the significance of it. We don't understand the value of some of these changes. We see them, you know, the same way people look at money, they just count it. We don't really understand the underlying significance and how one little defeat after another little defeat after another little defeat, and all of a sudden, you are no longer the nation that you grew up in. You're no longer in the nation that you expected to live in. And people look around and they say, what happened? What happened? What happened is too many of us spent too much time watching Dancing with the Stars and the American Idol and so on. And we're all guilty of it. I'm not, you know, it's a pot calling the kettle black when I'm talking about this, but just the same. We have to find people who are willing to stand up and speak out. You don't have to shoot people. You don't have to bomb people. But you do have to stand up, show up, and speak out in favor of whatever values you think are appropriate for you and your family. And all we ever seem to see are dissidents, minorities, new immigrants. They're willing to stand up and fight for what they want in this country. Why won't the people who were born here, live here? Why won't we fight for the... And the answer is we've been conditioned not to. We've been taught and we've believed so many things that, oh, it's a hate speech. If you're white and you're Christian and you stand up and say something, that's hate speech. No, it's not. It's not about what you hate. It's about what you love. You know, love and hate, two sides of the same coin. When they say that you can't say things because it's hate speech, what they're really saying is you can't say things because it's love speech. Right? One man's hate is another man's love. And we've lost sight of that, and we allow ourselves to be intimidated by people in positions of power and institutions, and they try to tell us, you know, you can't do that, you can't say that, you can't do a bunch of things. Well, maybe you got to say it. Maybe despite what they would have you believe, it's not only true that you can say, it's true that you must say. We're out of time, Melody.
And I just want to say, when they've done that to your finances, then they've done that to our money system. Mm-hmm. So, but people do have an option. They can choose, or you can choose to do nothing.
All right, folks, we're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. Melody and I will be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.